Well, welcome along to Mark Langdon's Bets Club in association with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. As you can see and hear, it's not Jack Reeve and Mark in the respective hot seats for this week's show. Instead, it's myself, Tom McGarry, and James Milton, who will be talking you through what promises to be another really exciting weekend in the Premier League. We'll have Aaron Ashley joining us later as well to discuss his tips and predictions from the EFL, as we're into April now, so very much officially entering the business end of the season with trophies to be won, titles to be decided, and relegations as well to be confirmed. Since the international break towards the end of last month, the action really has been coming thick and fast. We had a full programme in the Premier League last weekend, including a bit of that damp squib between Manchester City and Arsenal, big title game. And then in the midweek, we've had a busy programme as well. We're, as we record, still in the midst of that with a couple of games to come on Thursday. But our focus is going to be very much on this weekend's action. And James, as I say, we're entering the business end of the campaign. This is the part of football we all really love and get excited about.
Absolutely. The game's, as you say, coming thick and fast. And, you know, no wonder Jack and Mark have opted for a little break this week. We've got fresh legs and hopefully we can have a decent impact like Mikel Arteta's Arsenal understudies in midweek.
Absolutely, yeah, they did really well, beating Luton by 2-0. The big game coming up this weekend, then, the one that really attracts the eye, is the 3:30 kickoff on a Sunday. Seems to be becoming a bit of a regular feature, a 3:30 start now for the big game. And that is, of course, Manchester United against Liverpool. These two sides met just 3 weeks ago in the FA Cup, United winning a thriller 4-3 after extra time. Ahmed Diallo, you'll remember, scoring the dramatic late winner. United not involved in the title race, facing an uphill battle just to qualify for the Champions League. Liverpool, though, very much are. As I've mentioned, we're recording this ahead of Thursday night's games, which these two sides are involved in. United are travelling to Stamford Bridge to take on Chelsea. Liverpool host Sheffield United. But setting aside those matches, we're going to focus very much on this big game. As I say, Liverpool in the hunt for the title. Jurgen Klopp in the Liverpool dugout for the last time, going to Old Trafford to face Manchester United. James, this is always a big game with so much riding on it, particularly for Liverpool. It takes on really extra importance. And if we get anything like the game we had in the FA Cup just last month, then we'll be in for a treat. The prices, you can get Manchester United at around 10-3, the same price as well for the draw. Liverpool, unsurprisingly, favourites heading into this one, despite losing to the Red Devils in the Cup. They are available at 7-10. But yeah, as I say, James, if we get anywhere near the entertainment we got a couple of weeks ago, we should be in for a treat.
Absolutely. I mean, that was a stunning cup tie. And just to temper our enthusiasm a little bit, the reverse fixture, of course, at Anfield ended 0-0. Well, I think Liverpool racked up something like 34 attempts at goal and, you know, just couldn't find the finishing touch there. So, yeah, I mean, it's a huge game for Liverpool. You know, we're assuming that they're not going to slip up at home to Sheffield United. Stranger things have happened, but, you know, their record at Anfield suggests they're going to return to the top of the table with a win there. I think it's going to be another high-scoring game, you know, like the cup tie. Just feel United have been so hampered by defensive injuries, never seem to be able to get a settled back four out. And, you know, that's really, really dangerous against a Liverpool side who are absolutely on a mission, aren't they, to give Jurgen Klopp the perfect send-off.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, since the cup game as well, United weren't great, were they, against Brentford last weekend? Very much up and down in terms of their performances, their results, of course, which is why they're so far off the pace when you compare them to the likes of Liverpool. And you just feel like Liverpool is starting to get over some of the injury problems they've had as well, particularly in the final third, where we'll be hoping Mo Salah is fit and firing as well.
Absolutely. I mean, he's got a terrific record against United, as he does against most Premier League opponents. I think you're right about the Brentford game. You know, United looked as though they'd nicked an extraordinary victory when Mason Mount scored in injury time. Then they conceded a 99th minute equaliser. But I mean, you know, they allowed Brentford 31 shots at goal. Brentford hit the woodwork four times, I think. And you know, if they're giving up anywhere near as many chances to Liverpool, they are going to be punished. So looking at the betting, I'm obviously Liverpool pretty hot favourites to win at Old Trafford, which, yeah, so if you're a child of the 90s, the early days of the Premier League, it's still quite hard to get your head around, you know, Liverpool being such a short price to win at United. But in terms of recent seasons, they have really dominated this fixture. Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals looks a decent bet, I think. Last month's FA Cup tie obviously was a cracker, 7 goals in 120 minutes. And before that stalemate at Anfield this season, Liverpool had won 4 of the previous 5 meetings in the league. Mute this if you're a United fan. Scorelines of 7-0, 4-0, 5-0 and 4-2. As you said there, Liverpool's attacking unit is back pretty much to full strength. And yeah, I don't think they're going to slip up at Old Trafford.
Yeah, got to whisper that a 7-0 scoreline very quietly in certain quarters. That was
brutal.
A year ago. it's a very, very standout scoreline. That would, if that came in again, not that I'm expecting it to be a 7-0, but that would mean your bet comes in as well of Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals. But yeah, anything can happen when these two meet. It's the old cliche, isn't it? When two rivals go head-to-head, the form goes out of the water. But Liverpool have been just so much stronger than Manchester United and more consistent over the season, regardless of the scoreline in the cup. Yeah, it looks like Liverpool should be good value to go on and get the 3 points and hopefully, yeah, another entertaining game.
Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe.
That's the big match prediction, then Manchester United against Liverpool. Of course, there's plenty of action elsewhere in the Premier League. It's a busy Saturday. There are plenty of games taking place, 7 in total, including the early kickoff, the lunchtime start at Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace against another of the title contenders, Manchester City. James, Palace have been a little bit of a bogey side for City over recent years. I remember Andros Townsend scoring a spectacular goal against them a few seasons ago. They drew the reverse fixture at the Etihad as well in December. But Palace pretty comfortable in the Premier League standings, 8 points clear of the drop zone. This is a fixture that City will expect to go on and win.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you've mentioned Palace. They're kind of in no man's land a bit, aren't they? They're not quite going to get dragged into the relegation battle, I don't think. And then I think they're about sort of 8 points or so behind Fulham. So, you know, they're kind of not really going anywhere. And you know,
are we entering on the beach territory now? We're into April.
I think the one thing I would say is obviously they've got a fairly new manager there, but that doesn't seem to have been much of a spark from Oliver Glasner. Won his first game in charge. That was against 10-man Burnley at home. Since then, they've taken 2 points from 4 games. And the last 3 of those have been against Luton, Forest and Bournemouth, which, you know, you'd see were kind of winnable fixtures. So I'm not expecting a slip up from City here. I don't think they're going to turn on the style at Selhurst Park. Away from home, they've had to grind it out a bit this season. Obviously, a terrific response from them against Aston Villa, inspired by Phil Foden, absolutely brilliant hat-trick in midweek after the stalemate against Arsenal. So I think City will get the job done. You know, they had Haaland, De Bruyne and John Stones as unused substitutes in midweek as well. So, you know, they should be fresher I think probably a 2-0 Manchester City correct score looks the way to go here. I don't think Palace are going to get steamrolled by the champions, but they're just lacking a bit of cutting edge themselves.
Yeah, a bit ominous for Palace, isn't it, that City are able to rest players of that calibre during the week, and they should all come back into the side on Saturday fresh and raring to go. The prices for the lunchtime game, incidentally, Palace around about 9-1 to cause a shock. It's 4-1 the draw, and City, as you would expect, heavy favourites at 1-3 to go on and collect all 3 points. Five matches then kicking off at 3 o'clock on Saturday. We'll begin with the team City beat during the week. Aston Villa still in fourth position, looking to qualify for the Champions League. And they'll be hosting Brentford. It's 4-6 for the Villa victory, 3-1 the draw, 4-1 that Brentford can clinch the 3 points on the road. And I suppose, James, not quite to the same degree. They're a couple of points worse off than Crystal Palace, but Brentford, who had a 0-0 with Brighton during the week, also look like they're just a couple more points away from being confirmed as safe.
Yeah, and I think they could actually get something from this game. I like the look of the Brentford or draw double chance bet. Villa obviously had a grueling game against City. I think they only had about 33% possession, conceded 4 goals. And they've not been entirely convincing for a while now. I mean, needed a late winner to win 3-2 at Luton. Obviously lost 4-0 at home to Tottenham, had a 1-1 draw at West Ham. You know, they're not quite in that magnificent form that they showed in the first half of the season. And Brentford, you know, winless in 8, but they've had a really tough run of fixtures there. You know, narrow defeats to Arsenal and Manchester City. Obviously said they were unlucky not to take 3 points against Manchester United last weekend, and then followed it up with a rare clean sheet in the 0-0 with Brighton. So I think they can definitely build on those last two results. And I like the look of them to avoid defeat at Villa Park.
Yeah, I watched them in the week against Brighton. Wasn't a thriller, as you can imagine, the goalless draw. But they did look, Brentford, a lot more defensively resilient than they have at times this season. And you know, Thomas Frank seems to be getting a tune out of them once again. And a few important players have returned from injury. Just regarding Villa as well, I'll give you the top four odds as it stands. Despite Villa being fourth and top... and Tottenham fifth, Spurs are 4-6 favourites to finish in the top four, ahead of Villa at 6-5, and Man United as well, quoted at around 14-1. Do you think it's a straight shootout between Villa and Spurs for that fourth position? Of course, fifth could still get Champions League football next season as well, depending on the Premier League's coefficient.
Yeah, that's right. I think those, it's hard to argue with those prices, really. You know, you don't really see United in their current shape suddenly stringing the kind of run they need to break into the top four or five. And as I mentioned, Villa, you know, just starting to wobble a little bit, perhaps. Tottenham not consistent by any means themselves, but I think Tottenham maybe will just edge that fourth spot.
Absolutely. But as we say, Villa may still get in the Champions League, even if they finish fifth, which would be a fantastic achievement. Moving on now to, and this may be because I'm a lower league fan and a bit of a sucker for punishment at times, but a very attractive looking game in some ways at 3 o'clock. It's the Sean Dyche derby between Everton and Burnley, two sides scrapping for survival at the bottom end of the table. Everton without a win in 13 Premier League games, 4-6 though to win this one. It's 3-1 the draw. Burnley 4-1. The Clarets have been improving of late, and James, you never know, if they could get a positive result in this one, then they may potentially still have an outside chance of survival, which sounds ridiculous me saying it, particularly based on what we've seen from Burnley for the majority of the season.
No, I mean, they're certainly on their best run of the season, which admittedly isn't saying much, but yeah, unbeaten in 4 games, 2 all draws away at West Ham, and against Chelsea last weekend, where I think they were reduced to 10 men in the 40th minute, then fell behind fairly late on and still managed to come up with an equaliser. So that would have been a huge morale boost for a side who've really struggled since romping to the Championship title last season. And picked up another point in midweek at home to Wolves. I think the draw is quite an attractive price here at 3-1. you know, you're looking at Everton, winless in 13 league games. Sean Dyche sounded quite encouraged by the result at Newcastle. They've nicked a 1-1 draw, late penalty. They only had three shots on target. One of those was the penalty from Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I'm still so reluctant to be getting involved with Everton at short odds, particularly against the Burnley side, who have been improving in recent weeks. So yeah, the draw looks the best bet here.
Yeah, I might be in the minority getting excited about that game. I don't think it's going to be a lot of goals. It's very much a relegation 6 point, a dogfight you'd feel would be on the cards. But yeah, intriguing and a lot at stake at the very least. Elsewhere, at 3 o'clock, there's Fulham, who I find very difficult to predict, at home against Newcastle's side, still eyeing a qualification for Europe next season, but also still decimated by injuries. The Fulham win is available at 29-20, 11-4 the draw, 17-10 for Newcastle to win on the road. And I suppose those prices, James, as well, kind of tell the story that this one seems very difficult to predict.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, two teams whose games have involved plenty of goals recently. I'm going to try and steer clear of the match betting market because it is tricky. But I think over 3.5 goals is a really appealing bet. I mean, Fulham actually have a fantastic home record. Won 7 of their last 10 at Craven Cottage. They scored 25 goals in that time. And, you know, their last two home games have been 3-0 wins against Brighton and Tottenham. So they'll be confident, be happy to get back to their own patch. They've had a couple of tough away games, drawing 3-3 at Sheffield United and then losing 3-1 at Forest in midweek. So, you know, the fact that they're conceding that many goals against two teams down at the bottom of the table is a concern. So I think goals is the way to go. I mean, Newcastle's matches pretty much since Christmas have been absolutely ridiculous when it comes to goal mouth action. 10 of their last 12 have had over 3.5 goals. Obviously, they had that dramatic 4-3 win against West Ham, coming from 3-1 down very late on. And their last away game, they lost 3-2 at Chelsea. So, yeah, I'm expecting the goals to flow by the River Thames.
Yeah, the entertainers at Newcastle, not quite Kevin Keegan's entertainers, maybe, although there was a link between the two sides there with Keegan having also managed Fulham. But that could be a very entertaining game and very watchable, certainly, as could Luton against Bournemouth. Luton fighting for their lives towards the bottom of the table. They're 11-4 to win this game, 14-5 the draw, 10-11 Bournemouth, who've hit a bit of form themselves of late, really. A run that started with their superb come-from-behind victory in the reverse fixture between these two sides just a couple of weeks ago. 3-0 Bournemouth were down to Luton at half-time in that game. They came back to win at 4-3. James, are we going to get similar excitement this time around at Kenilworth Road?
Having been at the Arsenal-Luton match in midweek, I suspect not. But obviously, it'll be a very different approach from Luton. But they looked, you know, I think they were missing 11 players for that game. And they did struggle to put together any kind of attacking moves. Had to work hard, put it in a decent shift to limit Arsenal to a 2-0 win. You know, they'll be targeting this game as potentially 3 points, but I suspect Bournemouth can get the job done here. I mean, they seem to be quite a streaky side, bit of a confident side. They had a great run, I think, just before the October international break, and now, as you said, they're on another good run of form. So I like the look of the draw Bournemouth double result in this. I think it could be a bit of a slow burner. Obviously, that copped in spectacular fashion in the reverse fixture when Luton were 3-0 up at half time and lost 4-3. I'm not expecting quite that level of drama, but Luton, as I mentioned, severely depleted by injuries, and they've conceded a lot of second half goals all the way through the season, which is understandable given the step up to Premier League football with the resources they've got. 64% of the goals they've conceded have come after half-time. And I think Bournemouth seem to be kind of controlling matches a bit better these days. Beat Palace 1-0 with a late goal in midweek. Palace only had three shots on goal in the whole game. So yeah, I think Bournemouth can show their class in the second half.
Yeah, a bit more Premier League know-how perhaps with the Cherries, who are enjoying a really decent season under Andoni Iraola. The final 3 o'clock kickoff then on Saturday, Wolves against West Ham, two sides fighting it out with several others to perhaps secure European qualification, maybe the Europa League, maybe the Conference League for next term. Wolves 6-4 to win on home soil, 13-5 the draw, 17-10 for West Ham to get the victory. And yeah, it's a big game for both if they do have ambitions of qualifying for Europe.
It is, yeah. I must admit, this was the one game on the Saturday coupon that really had me scratching my head. I think they're, you know, two well-matched teams, which is illustrated by the league table. If Wolves win, they'll go level on points with West Ham. Having said that, Wolves, you know, had an excellent first season under Gary O'Neill, who's obviously attracting attention from bigger clubs as well. I think, you know, they've got plenty of attacking injuries. You know, Pedro Neto and Heechan Hwang, two hugely influential players for them, are going to miss out. And Mateus Cunha has only just come back into the squad. Couple of disappointing results for Wolves in the last week. Lost 2-0 at Villa, who, as I mentioned earlier, not in particularly hot form themselves. And then drew at Burnley. So I think at the prices, I'm going to edge tentatively towards a West Ham win, just because of the attacking quality they've got. Obviously, they showed that at Newcastle, and also showed their defensive vulnerability when they let slip that 3-1 lead to lose 4-3 at St James's Park. But I think with Wolves' attacking absentees, I think if West Ham can score a couple of goals, which they're always capable of, then they can take the points, steady the ship after that shock result at Newcastle with a draw at home to Tottenham. And I think they can kick on.
Yeah, so it could be David Moyes in this week then if they can secure the 3 points. Seems to be very up and down with him and the West Ham fans at the moment. The 5:30
wait till he wins the Europa League for them.
Yeah, we win the Europa League and they'll finish eighth. And the 5:30 kickoff then on Saturday, we will turn our attention back to the title race. But Brighton are also one of the sides involved in the European battle. They're at home, of course, to Arsenal. James, as you alluded to, you're at the Arsenal Luton game in the week. Perhaps showing your allegiances there and who you want to win the title. The pressure might be on Arsenal coming into this game if, as we expect, Liverpool beat Sheffield United on Thursday evening, then Manchester City win at Crystal Palace in Saturday's early kickoff. The Brighton win is 17-4, 10-3 at the draw, and the Gunners are 3-5, strong favourites to survive any potential pressure and get the 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously last weekend's game at City was the last head-to-head between the three title contenders. But Arsenal have got some huge games coming up. You know, never mind the Champions League against Bayern Munich. Brighton away, then they've got Villa at home, Wolves away, Chelsea at home, and Tottenham away in their next five league fixtures. So, you know, they're not going to be long odds on to win many of those. I think they will pass this test at Brighton. I wouldn't be getting stuck into them at kind of short price just to win in 90 minutes, but maybe a small bet on Arsenal to win to nil. I mean, we obviously saw their defensive excellence against Manchester City in that Italian-style defensive masterclass or snooze fest, depending on your point of view. But, you know, I mean, Gabriel and William Saliba have formed a terrific partnership and, you know, they kept Luton at bay without much difficulty in midweek as well. Just looking at Arsenal's defensive record, in the last eight games, they've conceded three goals. One was an own goal from Gabriel against Liverpool. One was up from an absolute howler by Aaron Ramsdale against Brentford. So, you know, they're just not giving up chances to opponents. And you know, Brighton are respected at home, are pretty poor travellers. But I think Arsenal can kind of keep them at arm's length They won the reverse fixture 2-0, and Brighton had very, very few opportunities. I think only one shot on target. And Brighton's 0-0 draw at Brentford was actually the fifth time in 11 games this year that they've failed to score in the Premier League. So, you know, for all their quality football under Roberto De Zerbi, they've not quite got the cutting edge up front.
Yeah, and if they'd still been playing now, Brighton, based on what they did against Brentford last night, they still wouldn't have scored. It was one of those games for Roberto De Zerbi's side. The other two games taking place on Sunday, other than the Manchester United-Liverpool match we've already touched upon, at 5:30, Sheffield United against Chelsea. The Blades 6-1 to win on home soil, 17-4 the draw, 2-5 for Chelsea to win on the road. The caveat, like with the United-Liverpool game, is these two sides are in action this evening, but regardless of what happens on Thursday, James, it looks like a game that even this inconsistent Chelsea should be able to go on and win.
You'd have thought so, yeah. I mean, I think I'd be looking at Chelsea to win and over 3.5 goals here. You know, they're not the kind of team who are grinding out 1-0 wins and kind of managing the game and looking solid. They've scored bundles of goals and created lots of opportunities pretty much throughout the season under Mauricio Pochettino. But, you know, their defence is so hard to trust. And Sheffield United, you know, they don't really have any option but to go for it, the position they're in. And they've shown some attacking endeavour in recent weeks. Drew 2-2 at Bournemouth and 3-3 at home to Fulham last weekend. Obviously, the galling aspect of that for Chris Wilder will be that they had two goal leads in both of those games and blew them. So, you know, they could contribute to a high scoring game. I just think Chelsea's forwards will create plenty of opportunities. Before their Thursday game against Manchester United, 9 of Chelsea's previous 11 games had over 3.5 goals. Just looking at their FA Cup ties against Leeds and Leicester, they beat Leeds 3-2, Leicester 4-2. You know, their team's going for automatic promotion from the Championship. They're arguably stronger than Sheffield United at the bottom of the Premiership, so Premier League. Sorry, old school. I think Chelsea are going to win quite a high scoring contest here.
Yeah, it could be quite entertaining. 5:30 kickoff on Sunday. That one, a slightly strange kickoff time. It's because of the Sheffield half marathon that's taking place that day. So that's why that one's at 5:30. Slightly strange kickoff as well for the final game of the weekend. Tottenham against Nottingham Forest was originally down for a Monday night fixture, but instead it will be 6 p.m. on Sunday. Spurs 2-5 to win, 17-4 the draw, 11-2 for Nottingham Forest, and this is a game that has or could have huge bearings on the battle for the top four and the relegation fight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's another tricky one. This actually, I mean, Tottenham have had so many injury problems this season, and obviously losing Heung-min Son to the Asian Cup as well in January. But their squad looks in really good shape now. So it's a bit strange that they've that's not been reflected in their recent results. They've not really kicked on since that 4-0 win at Aston Villa, which you know felt like a really significant moment in their season. They went and lost 3-0 at Fulham in their next game. Then needed one of their trademark late goals to beat Luton 2-1 in their last home game, and then drew at West Ham in midweek. So yeah, I mean, this is another big game for Tottenham, but obviously Forest now scrapping hard at the bottom, got a much needed win at home to Fulham in midweek. Still not convinced by them at all. They drew their previous two games with Palace and Luton. I mean, they do carry a goal threat. I think the best bet for me in this one is Tottenham to win 2-1, which is a favourite scoreline of theirs. They've had five 2-1 wins at home in the league this season. And Forest, I think they can land a blow on an inconsistent Tottenham defence, but Tottenham can just about edge it. Forest are pretty poor travellers and got a pretty poor record against the top five. I think they've lost 7 of their 8 meetings this season.
Yeah, it could be a decent day then for Spurs, but they do have a habit of conceding and conceding first. That victory for Forest in the week has boosted their survival hopes. And just to give you a little update on the to be relegated market, Sheffield United and Burnley still heavy odds on. Luton 4-11 to go down. Forest then 3-1. Everton 7-2. And then you're looking at Brentford and Crystal Palace, who are around 20 and 25-1 respectively. Okay, so that rounds up all the action in the Premier League this weekend. Plenty are taking place across Saturday and Sunday. We'll now turn our attention to the EFL and bring in Aaron Ashley to talk us through everything that's been taking place and these tips and predictions in the Championship, League One and League Two.
If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets.
Right, well, we're going to turn our focus to all things EFL. And now, like with the Premier League, we're certainly into the business end of the season. We've just come out of the other side of the Easter doubleheader. Matches took place on Good Friday and on Easter Monday in the Championship. Big, important victories for Ipswich, Leeds and Leicester. Looks like that race for the Championship title and promotion to the Premier League is going to go down to the wire, but there's still plenty to be decided up and down the EFL. Plenty of teams looking for promotion, playoff places and just looking to survive in their respective divisions. I'm joined by Aaron Ashley to take us through this weekend's action. He'll be bringing us his best free tips from the Championship, League One and League Two very shortly. But first of all, Aaron, we're going to focus on a side in the Championship that have ambitions of getting into the playoffs. They're also, of course, going brilliantly in the FA Cup. Of course, I'm talking about Coventry City. We've still got that slightly weird situation where they could potentially be double booked come May with the Championship playoff final and a potential FA Cup final. A lot to go before then. But yeah, Coventry having another really good season.
Exactly that, Tom. Yeah, Coventry are this week's team in focus. Last season, obviously, they finished fifth. They suffered that gut-wrenching penalty shootout defeat to Luton. They were so close to the Premier League, and they're 2-1 to finish in the top six again this term. They've still got a lot to do in order to do that. Many felt their chance had gone at the start of the season. They made such a slow start. Obviously, they won only three of their opening 16 games. That was partly down to having to sell their top scorer, Victor Jurekesh, to Sporting. He's obviously now lighting it up in Portugal. While they also lost the creative midfielder, Gustavo Hamer, to Sheffield United. Losing those two big players was such a blow, and many were doubting them on the back of that, thinking that that was their chance gone. Plenty has been done by Mark Robbins over the summer. He signed a lot of young players, and there seems that there is plans in place to get them in the Premier League, whether it be this season or whether it be next. He signed a lot of players. He signed Ellis Sims and Haji Wright to replace the goals of Jurekesh. They've got 17 goals and 16 goals respectively, and they are really now finding their stride as the season comes to a close. As you say, obviously, they've showed what they can do by making the FA Cup semi-final, and that big game against Glamatai against Manchester United is on the horizon. But they will still have ambitions that they can break into the top six. As I said, there is work to do. They're currently 4 points outside the top six. They do have an all-important game in hand. The problem for them is they've still got to play Leeds, Ipswich and Southampton, which shows how tough that is going to be. But they did beat Leicester 3-1 at home in January, so that shows what they're capable of, and they'll believe that they still can break into that top six. As I said, Mark Robbins, he's already bolstered his squad for next season. He signed Efron Mason-Clark, highly touted winger from Peterborough. And he's really brought the average age down. He's really tried to sign young 22-year-old, 23-year-old players that want to work for their place and want to basically build a future. And however this season ends, I really do think next season, if they do not go up this season, then they're going to be strong promotion contenders next year.
Yeah, absolutely. They look like a club, don't they, that are really on a positive trajectory. That under Mark Robbins, who's been there such a long time, coming through League Two, League One, back in the Championship. It's 23 years, isn't it, since Coventry were last in the Premier League, founder members of that competition. But yeah, it looks like the future is bright. And I'm slightly surprised, I don't know about you, Aaron, that Mark Robbins perhaps isn't talked up a little bit more as a candidate for other jobs, perhaps when a Premier League job becomes available.
Exactly that. I think it would be we see that managers leave a lot and they don't get much time in the Premier League. I think it would be risky because there looks like they are really building something and there are plans in place for Coventry to return to the Premier League very soon. And as I said, they might have the work cut out this season. They've got 4 points to make up on the top six. They do have a game in hand, but they have some tricky fixtures and that FA Cup glamour tie may be a bit of a distraction that's not needed. But next season, for sure, I think they'd definitely be on a radar of many people to even challenge for the title. I don't see why not.
Yeah, absolutely. Plenty to look forward to if you're a Coventry supporter and are a team to look out for over the remaining weeks of this season and potentially into next as well. As Aaron mentioned, 2-1 that Coventry finish in the top six. It's around about 12-1 that they can go on to secure promotion come the end of the season. Don't forget that they're still involved in the FA Cup as well, a semi-final tie at Wembley to come against Manchester United. So yeah, Coventry going well in the Championship. How about your tips then for the weekend's action, Aaron? How do you see these respective games playing out? You've got a couple, one from League One and a couple from League Two.
That's correct. Yeah, I've got three tips in total, Tom. The first one is Oxford to beat Burton. This is a big match at both ends of the League One table. Oxford are seeking a place in the playoffs and Burton have plenty of work to do to stay up, actually. Oxford are outside the top six and only goal difference, and they've won three of the last five league games to bolster that position. That includes a 4-0 rout of Fleetwood last weekend. Burton, meanwhile, they're only 1 point above the drop, and it'll be a real concern to supporters. They've picked up only 2 points in their last nine league outings. They were beaten 3-1 at home to Barnsley last time out, and that was a sixth straight league loss at the Pirelli Stadium, a run which also features defeats to to relegation rivals Carlisle and Port Vale. So at odds against Oxford, who do need to break into that playoff place, I think that makes plenty of appeal.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm a Carlisle supporter, and we've done the double over Burton this season, so where we are in the table, that probably says a lot about them. But yeah, potentially a good weekend for Oxford. Down to League Two then for the other two bets.
Yeah, that's correct. Barrow second. They're 8-11 at home to Swindon, and I think that's just makes all you hackers this weekend, to be honest. They're only 6 points off the automatic promotion places, but it does look like a playoff spot is the most likely destination for the Cumbrians. They currently sit fifth. But I fancy them to win at home to Swindon, who've lost four of the last five league games. They've kind of just done enough to stay up now, but they've not really got much to play for. So motivation levels will be on the wane. Barrow, they've been going great guns at home this season. They've lost only twice in 20 home league matches, and they've won four of the last five on their own patch and kept four clean sheets in that period. Swindon, on the other hand, they lost 3-1 away at third bottom Sutton last time out, which means they've now failed to win any of their last nine away games. And they've took only 2 points in that period. So it's a long trip and I think it'll be a wasted journey.
Yeah, it could be a disappointing afternoon then for Swindon. And your final tip, Aaron?
Harrogate to avoid defeat at Notts County. It's been some nosedive from Notts County. They started the campaign like they were going to be a real force in the title race. Obviously, a few managerial departure didn't help, but obviously they're now 16th and they've won only twice in 16 league outings this year. They've failed to win any of the last seven matches at home, and I think they look vulnerable at home to Harrogate, who are actually finishing the season quite well, and they're now four places above Notts County in the table, having gone five matches unbeaten, and they were 5-1 winners at home to Gillingham last time out, so confidence should be flying. Despite their mid-table position, Harrogate have the third best away record in the league. They've lost only five of their 21 away league games, and they've picked up positive results against five of the current top six. So odds against, I think they look a big prize to avoid defeat against the Notts County side that's really struggling to put their best foot forward at the moment.
Yeah, it's quite interesting in League Two, ever unpredictable. But if you probably said at the start of the season which teams would be having better seasons, Barrow or Swindon or Harrogate and Notts County, you wouldn't have Barrow and Harrogate maybe as the two flying high.
That's correct, yeah. It's obviously a league that is right at the top end, it is driven by money and finance. So obviously, the bigger hitters are always going to be up there. But Barrow have really, really, they've done really well under Pete Wilde and continue to punch above their weight. And they fully deserve a place in the playoffs.
Yeah, it could be a very interesting end to the season for Barrow. Long, long time since they've been in the third tier of English football. But yeah, just to recap your tips then, Aaron, you're going for Oxford to beat Burton, Barrow to beat Swindon and Harrogate, or drawing the double chance market against Notts County.
Yeah, that's correct, Tom.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, it's interesting to see how those pan out. Could be a very interest in treble, or if you want to put a few singles on there for those respective games. Yeah, the intrigue, as we mentioned, we're in the business end of the campaign. Now, this is when the points really, really do matter. Thank you very much then, Aaron, for joining us. It'll be interesting to see if we've got three winners there.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Fingers crossed, mate. Fingers crossed.
Well, now switch our attention then back to the Premier League. And James, you've put together your bet builder for the weekend's action, and you've focused on Saturday's 5:30 kickoff between Brighton and title-chasing Arsenal.
Yeah, that's right. I mentioned earlier Arsenal to win to nil looked a decent price. And I'm along the same lines with my bet builder. So the first two legs, I've gone for Arsenal to win and under 3.5 goals. You know, mentioned Arsenal's defensive qualities. And Brighton, I think probably still with striker Evan Ferguson out, Kaoru Mitoma's obviously sidelined as well, just lacking that bit of quality in the final third. Had plenty of possession at Brentford in midweek, didn't create much in the way of clear chances. And I think Arsenal should be able to keep them quiet, particularly with Declan Rice and Jorginho likely to return to the midfield in front of that outstanding defence that the Gunners have put together. Arsenal's last three away wins was 6-0, 5-0 and 6-0. I'm not expecting that kind of scoreline at the Amex Stadium. Brighton pretty solid at home. But yeah, Brighton really struggled to lay a glove on Arsenal at the Emirates in December's reverse fixture. So I think Arsenal can win a tight game here. Pascal Gross was booked at the Emirates before Christmas. Picked up two yellow cards in his last four league starts as well for Brighton. So he's the third leg, Pascal Gross, to be booked. He's been playing a kind of defensive midfield role recently. And, you know, against that fluid Arsenal attacking unit, I think he's going to have to have a busy afternoon and may well find himself in trouble.
Yeah, it could be a routine victory then for Arsenal. Just to recap the three legs of that bet builder in the Brighton, the Arsenal game. Arsenal to win under 3.5 goals and Pascal Gross to be booked. That bet builder pays out at around 14-1 if successful. Moving on then, James, to your treble for the weekend, not just looking at Premier League action, but further afield as well.
Yeah, that's right. A couple that I've mentioned in the Premier League roundup. So the first one, over 3.5 goals in Fulham against Newcastle. And both clubs can play with a bit of freedom. And, you know, Fulham have been in terrific form at Craven Cottage recently. Scored three times against Brighton, three times against Spurs in their last two. And 10 of Newcastle's last 12 league games have produced over 3.5 goals. So I'm expecting fun and games at Craven Cottage this weekend. Second leg, Bournemouth to beat Luton. You know, they obviously needed something pretty spectacular to get the points in the recent reverse fixture, coming from 3-0 down to win 4-3. They've kicked on well since then. And yeah, Luton, you know, they've put in a magnificent effort to be where they are. I think a lot of people at the start of the season would have had them relegated by this point. But I think injuries are starting to take their toll. They had a tough game at Arsenal in midweek. And Bournemouth have been really ruthless against the bottom eight clubs. Won eight of their 12 games. And yeah, they should bank the points at Kenilworth Road. And then for the final leg of the treble, I'm heading to Italy. Bologna, who Liverpool fans may be monitoring their form, because their manager Thiago Motta has been linked as a possible successor to Jurgen Klopp, and you can certainly see why. They're up to fourth in Serie A, you know, pretty unfancied club in Italy. Won eight of their last nine games, and the only blot on that recent record was a 1-0 defeat to Inter, who are running away with the title. So no shame in that result. I think they're going to claim yet another win away to Frosinone, who have lost 12 of their 13 games against teams in the top eight this season, and Bologna absolutely flying.
Yeah, we could have Bologna, Aston Villa, Girona from La Liga in the Champions League next season. It could have an interesting and fresh look to it. But yeah, that treble of over 3.5 goals in Fulham v Newcastle, Bournemouth to beat Luton and Bologna to beat Frosinone. That one would pay out at around 15-2. That Bologna game kicks off at 11:30 in the morning on Sunday. Finally then, James, your map for the weekend as well. What are you picking out?
Yeah, I'm going for Burnley or draw double chance against Everton. Tip the draw at 3-1 earlier, but you know, if you want a more solid option to support the Clarets, I think just backing them to avoid defeat looks a good bet. I mean, you just can't get away from the fact that Everton are sort of 4-6, having won one of their last 17 games in all competitions, and Burnley, as we mentioned earlier, you know, showed great character in that draw at Chelsea last weekend, playing the entire second half with 10 men, and unbeaten then in their last four games. So yeah, I think they're going to be capable of frustrating their former boss Sean Dyche.
Yeah, I must admit those odds do look a little bit short for Everton given their current form, and it's going to be a very, as we mentioned earlier on, a very nervy game you'd imagine at Goodison Park. But that rounds everything up then, James, for me and you for this week. I think we've done a solid enough job of filling in for Jack and Mark. Big shoes to fill, of course. But yeah, hopefully we've got some winning bets there for everyone listening. Right then. So yeah, as I say, thanks very much for joining us. Jack and Mark will be back in the hot seats next week. Don't forget to like and subscribe and comment. And we'll catch you again very soon for another episode of Mark Landon's Bets Club. And of course, remember to gamble responsibly.